Welcome to our December 15th meeting, last meeting of the year. Please rise and join me in pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call of members, please?
Yes. Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne will be a few minutes late this evening. Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler? Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
13 members present.
Thank you. We have no proclamations or petitions or communications or notices. We will have an executive session at the end of this meeting. Joe has some items, and we have some personnel matters regarding evaluation of the manager's report directly to us. No special orders today, so we'll move to privilege of the floor for the public. I don't see that anyone has submitted their request to speak, but we do allow 3 minutes. If anyone wants to spontaneously speak on any issue, please come to the mic and identify yourself and where you live and what your topic might be.
I'm Roger Segelkin, 114 Texas Lane in Ithaca. I'm the chairman of the Environmental Management Council, and I speak in support of your resolution on the draft environmental impact statement on gas drilling. The EMC, as most of you know, is an advisory group to the county legislature, and we're made up of municipal representatives like myself, but our real brain trust is our scientific members, and these are the people who undertook a thorough analysis of the state's impact statement. Their detailed findings were filed with the state as part of the public comment period and passed on to the legislature for consideration in the event that you wanted to do something with that. The bottom line is that this document is woefully inadequate. It's fundamentally and irreparably flawed, so badly so that it can't be fixed with all of the comments that have been received from the public. And I think the DEC is overwhelmed and surprised with the volume and thoughtful quality of these comments. The whole process was a rush to judgment that with arbitrary deadlines that were a disservice to the people of New York and to the environment and the land and the water. There was not time to take into consideration new facts, new approaches, in particular the fact that the EPA now will be doing a review of this kind of drilling and may very well issue overarching regulations that will be in variance with anything that New York or the other states could come up with. So that's why we say, and we hope you agree, that this impact statement needs to be thrown out, start over, put it in the recycling basket or shred it, put it in the compost. It's a good try for a state that does not have a lot of experience with gas and oil drilling. I hope we learn from the process, but it's just not good enough. I thank you for allowing the EMC to take under consideration some of these important environmental questions, and thank you for listening to us.
Thank you, Roger. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the privilege of the floor for the public? If not, we'll move just this minute. We'll move to municipal officials, but I don't see any municipal officials here to report. So then we'll move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. I have Kathy and then Nathan.
Thank you, Michael Plinkler, Mr. Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature. I have two things tonight. The first thing is I want to request of you and let you know that I'm going to be leaving after about 2 hours. So around 7:30, you'll see me leave. Per our new rules, I figured I would notify you. The second thing is more details on light in winter. Remember, I mentioned it last time, but I didn't tell you some of the fun, free things. There's going to be fun, free things at the Statler Lecture Hall on Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m., the Calculus of Friendship. There's some really neat things. There's a lot of exhibits. You got to look at lightinwinter.com. There's things for kids, things for adults, the kinetics, the physics of juggling. I love Light in Winter. I try to make one or two events every year. This year looks to be better than the last. So I just wanted to put in another plug. There's still time to get tickets. You can get them individually. You can get them at the ticket center in the atrium.
Ithaca Center atrium,
or you can get them online. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Nathan Shinagawa.
Yeah, I have a Distinguished Youth Award, and so I will go up and like to bring up Noble Two and Kathleen and Penny from Youth Employment Services. Come on up. So this month, I'm in charge of giving the Distinguished Youth Award, and I in order to do this, I basically talk to different people in the community that are involved in that work with youth on a regular basis. And one of the stories that I came across was the story of Noble here, and I thought it was very moving, and the work that she's done in the McGraw House I thought was really just remarkable, given the short time that she's been in the United States. So I've decided to nominate her and give her this award tonight. And so, with that, I'm going to read a part of the letter of this letter of recommendation for the Distinguished Youth Award that Kathleen wrote here, and then also I'm going to let her finish the letter of recommendation and tell this very cute story that I'll let her tell. So, here we go. I met Noble Two for the first time in late October of this year. She was seeking employment through Youth Employment Services, who had led me to her, who led her to me at McGraw House and our dining program. The first thing I noticed about Noble was her magnificent smile. The more we talked during our informal interview, the more I knew that Noble would be an excellent fit to our waitstaff. She's an outstanding employee, and after working just one day a week for 2 weeks, she decided she would like to work more hours and would still be able to balance her schoolwork and a few more hours a week at McGraw House. Well, while we work together, we talk about the differences in our cultures. Noble is from Burma and lived in a refugee camp in Thailand. While in the camp, she also worked as an interpreter for immigration, where she translated people's stories into English for their forms that asked permission to come to the United States. Noble and her family were able to leave as a translator for the OPE, which is the Overseas Processing Entity, that she was able to get into that program, and they were able to send her and her family as refugees to the United States. Noble has told me what her life was like in Burma and Thailand. She describes her people as happy and friendly, but overpowered by the mountain people of Burma, so her people were forced into Thailand. Coming to the U.S. and to Ithaca has been a blessing of endless possibilities and opportunities for Noble and her family. Although they have only been here less than a year, Noble has made many friends at school, at church, and at her job. So, Kathleen, do you want to...
Yes.
What did I write anyway?
What did I say? No, Noble really stands out in a crowd of teens that I've, in the last 10 years at McGraw House, have worked with probably about 100 different youth. And Youth Employment Service has provided many youths to us. But Noble just really has taken over as far as like being outstanding. So we found out that her birthday was in November. And I said, well, what would you like to do for your birthday? And she looked at me confused. She's like, what do you mean? I said, we want to celebrate your birthday. She says, oh, in my culture, we don't celebrate birthdays. They're just another day. And I said, well, you're in America now, and we celebrate everything. So what would you like for your birthday? She says, I would like you to teach me to make an apple pie. So we spent a Friday afternoon after school making an apple pie. And she took it home. And her mother said, oh, did you buy that at the store, Noble? And Noble says, no, my boss and I made it together. So I think that really says volumes about this kid who is going to be a mover and a shaker. So look out.
then you can also say a few words if you would like. So here first, here's the plaque, the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award. All right. And this is presented to Noble II in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, December 2009. And it's sponsored by Bangs Ambulance Service, Tompkins County Legislature, Coyote Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, A&B, and Awards and Engraving. So,
yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to say?
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. And I didn't hope that I would get, like, this award. And when Kathleen told me that I would get that, I was so surprised. And I said, I didn't do nothing special to get an award. But anyway, thank you so much for the award.
Thank you, Nathan. Are there other legislators who wish to speak? Jim, and then Frank, and we'll go around.
Thank you, Mike. I just want to bring up a topic. This will be the last meeting for five people, and I've been here 4 years, and the days pass very quickly. And even though some of the things we do are tedious and boring, the meetings carry on, and we end up with something out of each one of them. I've enjoyed personally being involved with five people that will be leaving and who have served here for 4 years, the three Mikes, Greg and Tyke. And it's my understanding that some of them are not going to be at our little meeting tomorrow evening. I know Mike will probably be there, but I believe Tyke and Greg are not going to be there. And I don't know about Mike Hattery, but I have prepared some things from me to them that I was going to bring to that meeting, but I just want to give you a short synopsis of each one. I had something for Greg, and they are basically defibrillators. with some words that would go along with that. And I will get them to him, or we will still go through with it. For Mr. Hattery, I hope it's a resolution that we all would agree to, that we would not continue to deal with resolutions that were out of the realm of county government, at least until the next legislature meeting. You can count on that being good for like 14 days. The other person would be Tyke, and he's not going to be here, and I'm sorry about that. I have some thoughts that I've written down, and I will give them to him, but I also included a saw. He's a carpenter, he's a teacher, and it has some especially good words on it. It talked about being able to cut corners, cut circles, cut angles, all things you need to do to be on the county legislature. And I will get that to him. Mike Siegler actually got the best prize of all. I have constructed, with a lot of help from my wife, a credit card, or actually it's a card that allows Mike to be enrolled in Obamacare when and if it's ever passed. And he will be, and it got a great picture of the president with a white doctor's uniform on. I will bring it tomorrow. But he would be, and but you do have to put your party affiliation
Start over again, Joe.
So I'll present that to him tomorrow, but it's he would be the first member of Obamacare. That's right. And that too will be good. It will be effective immediately or whenever it gets passed. Okay.
So sometime in the next 10 years.
Yeah, right.
In the Republican state.
Exactly, or whatever. I just want to say it's been a pleasure serving with all of you, and we will greatly miss your involvement and your contribution in the legislature. And the county will miss your involvement and your contribution to us all.
Thank you, Jim. On to Frank, then Carol.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, that was pretty good. Are you going to have your top 10 at the a couple of items. One is a reminder that the Voice Your Choice program, again, just so you remember and you remind your constituents, is done. There's no more Voice Your Choice unless you do it through an ESCO. And they're out soliciting now. This is NYSEG's pullback, unfortunately, with the PSC's permission to drop that program for the fixed choice option on electric utilities. The second is a reminder about the stormwater material. At the last meeting, I gave you a heads up that the Water Resources Council was finishing up that review. They finished the review. We have sent out, pardon me, letters notifying all of the municipalities that are MS4s with regard to how the an MS4 is what are the municipality or municipality that's included within the designation for making sure that appropriate stormwater regulations are in place if more than an acre of ground is being disturbed in a development. In order to comply with the DEC's changes, we were asked to undertake a review of the changes, and they've extended the comment period now into January, which is a plus. That just happened a couple of days back. But all of your municipalities that are involved will be receiving letters signed by the chairman of the Water Resources Council, and we, even though Groton is not a member, is not an MS4 community, we've included them because of what I mentioned the last time. We did confirm that the Owasco Inlet is going to be impacted, and we've decided that we better just alert them to the changes that could impact them. The county is also an MS4, so Ed Marks wearing his Commissioner of Public Works hat is receiving a letter also from the Water Resources Council. Last item that I have is regarding, and Pam, I don't want to steal your thunder about if you're going to report on garbage trucks and the DOT comment period that ended yesterday, but one tagline I want to add. I was listening yesterday to an individual who was commenting on behalf of one of the organizations and, in my opinion, made an erroneous statement that agriculture and agricultural shipping will not be adversely impacted by the proposed changes that the DEC is the DOT is considering with regard to the change in routes. Agriculture will be severely impacted. The comments that the Farm Bureau has made are going to be voiced once again to our elected representatives in Albany. Even though the comment period officially ended yesterday for the document, the concerns are the added fuel emissions and fuel consumption that will be taking place by diverting these trucks once again, the added cost of refrigeration to ship agricultural products that are not local delivery, and the concerns of the farmers for and anyone in agriculture for the price of food going up. Just so you know, the Ag and Farmland Protection Board was opposed to this, and as I understand that they have already transmitted a comment on it to the on behalf of themselves to the state. And I'll hold back on the comments regarding the GEIS and the organizations that I chair until that resolution comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. You Carol Chalk, and then Tyke.
Yeah, well, I wanted to thank Roger Segelkin for coming. Okay. Well, there had been questions about whether the comments that they were going to make came back to the legislature, and I just wanted to let him know that not only have they been heard, but they are in a revision that is in your packet. It's the very last page of the revised resolution LL related to
the question of moratorium and the use of the word moratorium that we can talk more about when it comes up. But before he left, I wanted to let him know that it was Resolution LL and might take a while to get to. I also wanted to bring up the connection between a local and sort of a national and global issue that's been in the news lately, which is climate change and the Copenhagen conference that's going on, the UN conference, and urge people to just go to national news of any nation, really, other than the United States, and look at whatever your favorite other country is, to go look online and look at why 77 nations walked out of that conference in frustration. It's not something we're hearing a lot about here. Their sense is that there is a connection between the national issues, the international issues they're talking about, and the consequences that we are already seeing here locally, which is why we need to talk about Marcellus shale drilling. The big issue there is inequity between the developed part of the world and the underdeveloped or less developed part of the world. Their thoughts are that some nations, including ours, have prospered in the last 150 years, partly due to the fact that we have used more than our fair share of the world's resources, and that's left consequences. That use may have been unintentional. We didn't know anything about it when we started, but we know something now. And they're asking the questions about what do we now do about using the resources that are left, and how the world works that out will have implications for our local health, security, and economic future. We are seeing the results of those kinds of questions here locally with Marcellus Shale, with the collapse of markets that affect our local jobs, and in the budget of New York State. I'm really proud that Tompkins County has stayed healthy enough to get a 0.34% interest rate on our bonds. We've done that because we've paid attention to these issues, and we need to continue to think about how we keep our air and water clean and our economy healthy. And when we weigh in on these issues, when they come up nationally, it's important because it was only, in the 90s, that the laws got changed that are now coming back to haunt us. So that's where I see the connection, and I think it's a good example. So I urge people to educate themselves more than we have time to do here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. On to Tyke, and then I have Martha next, and then Greg.
Last night, I wanted to share some of my top 10 things I learned as a legislator with each of you. No particular order. I'll start at the top. I found out that Frank is an operative for Niagara Mohawk. Minutes is an acronym for maybe it needs underlines, tense changes, exclamation points, or something. Member filed resolution stands for I don't play well in the sandbox. Caucusing is bad. Sorry. And Frank isn't as old as I thought he was. And to be honest, I said the top 10, I couldn't come up with it. But I want to thank you all. I came here wide-eyed. I leave wide-eyed. And I want to thank you for stretching my thinking pattern in ways that I never thought it would. And I want to thank you for, because of you doing that, they won't let me in the local diner any longer. honestly, I'm serious now. I really come to admire this group. It's been a tough go for me right from day one, pretty much. You've all been understanding. You've all stuck by me. You've all been supportive. You'll never know how much that meant to me and my family through this whole thing. I've come to absolutely respect department heads. I They're truly a professional group that absolutely doesn't need legislators to tell them how to do their jobs. They know how to do them well. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the legislators here. And I count my blessings in life by the amount of friendships that I make. And after leaving this place, I feel like I've been truly blessed. And I thank you all for that.
Thank you, Ty. Martha, and then Greg, and then Pam.
That's hard to follow. Maybe it needs underlining. What was the T? Anyway, okay.
Tense changes, I think.
Right. Tense change. All right. Exclamation points or something. Thank you, Tech. It really is. It's really hard to have a transition like this, and you know, a lot of we've been over a lot of ground with folks, and you know, we'll miss all of you, and thank you for your service. Want to shout out to Mike Lane and Dave McKenna, and our incoming folks in the audience, and also Damon Ferguson in the back. Hi, Damon. You know, it's always a learning experience. A couple of other thank yous tonight, as Carol said, to the EMC and also the Water Resources Council for volunteer work, like unbelievable volunteer work on the drilling resolution. And thanks to Frank. Every time we have one of those Distinguished Youth Awards, it like makes me want to cry. Thank you, Frank.
I make you want to cry?
Well, yeah.
I hope it's not in pain.
For suggesting the idea of the Distinguished Youth Award a number of years ago. It's always a really high point, and thanks, Nathan, for the nomination today. And thank you to our generous community. Across the Human Services Listserv came a message from Chris Santirico of Catholic Charities about the results on Share the Warmth this year. There's always sort of an outpouring of things that to help families, and seems like they really surpassed themselves. The community surpassed ourselves this year. 567 families walked through the doors to get clothes for 1,600 family members. More than 1,000 coats were distributed, 600 blankets, 1,100 hats, 760 scarves. I mean, just an incredible outpouring of important and needed warm clothes for the community. And if you didn't catch the Catholic Charities clothing drive, you can go to the Red Cross, because their homeless shelter services, they're seeking all sorts of sort of personal products, as well as sort of gift cards to Lowe's and to Wegmans and Tops and the Salvation Army store. And it's called their Make It Like Home holiday wish list. Called John Ward. If you have any questions, 273-1900, extension 27. You can just drop off your donations business hours at their house on Clinton Street. So it's really so stunning to be part of a community that's so generous all year long, but especially at this time of the year. So thanks.
Thanks, Martha. Greg, then Pam, then Will.
Well, I didn't put nearly as much thought into this as Tyke did, but I just wanted to mention very briefly that obviously this is my last meeting, as well as some of the rest of you. It's been a wonderful experience for me. I certainly want to thank the folks of Newfield and Enfield for their support over the 4 years. And I'd like to recognize, in addition to Tyke recognizing our department heads, what I think really is the pulse of this legislature, and that's the staff of the clerk's office. Kathy, Michelle, and Karen make this operation work, and it wouldn't to anywhere near the degree that it does without their efforts. So, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Pam McAsee?
I think I'm going to pass.
Will Burbank, and then Mike Hattery.
Thank you, Mike. In our mailboxes tonight was this poster, which I don't know if everyone had a chance to see. It's United Against Hate. And this is part of a campaign that was initiated by the Multicultural Resource Center in response to a series of fairly disturbing phone messages that were left on the GIAC answering machine. Very, very hateful. And Lynn Jackie Arrett was inspired to by a response in the community that that happened in Billings, Montana, where there was vandalism carried out against synagogues and Jewish cemeteries. And in response, people printed up pictures of menorahs and started plastering around saying, we as a community do not support that kind of reaction. We identify with the people that have been attacked, and we will not allow this to happen in our community. And so I would encourage everybody to take this home, put it in your car, put it in your window, tell other people about it, see if we can't get it going. If you would like to know more, contact the Multicultural Resource Center or Lynn at 272-8587.
Thank you, Will. Mike Hattery?
Yeah, I'd like to take this opportunity, Mike, to as thank you for your quality leadership as chair of the legislature for the last 2 years. Your care for the county and its citizens has been always come through to me. Your patient and persistent at times leadership has been very valuable. You've always been fair in my dealings with you. You've been very diligent to carry out the role of the chair. And I've enjoyed serving under your leadership. I thank you for that. I think that you, among others, give the term public servant a good name. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Are there others who wish to speak under privileges of the floor for legislators? If not, we don't have any special topical presentations. So for Chair's report, I too will salute those who are graduating from this term on the legislature, Greg and Mike and Mike and Tyke. It's been really thank you for your service. It's been a pleasure and honor to serve with you. I also want to thank our department heads. They really make this entire organization run very smoothly despite our getting our fingers in the pie sometimes. And certainly thank administration and thank clerk and legislature staff and our camera crew. It's really been a pleasure working with everyone these last 12 years for myself. I have no chair's appointments. Move on to report from county administrator.
Just two things, Mr. Chairman. First, a reminder of tomorrow's quarterly department head legislature meeting, beginning at 3:30, 3:30 to 5:30, and then a brief reception afterwards. And I think it should be a good session to kind of bring us up to speed on a number of items, including some time that we want to spend to talk about the accomplishments of this county over the past year. I said it earlier today to a group of county employees that, you know, this has been a very difficult year with the economy and difficult budget times and challenges at every turn, and we can easily forget about the accomplishments that are made over the course of even a difficult year. And we're going to spend some time tomorrow night to talk about some of the major things on that list and some other items as well. I'd just like to very quickly add my appreciation to Mike, Tyke, and Greg. Sounds a little like a boy band from the mid-1990s, but it really has been a pleasure and a privilege to work with all of you. This has been a year of transition for me, and I've learned a lot from each one of you. And I'd especially like to thank the chairman, who has been a friend and an advisor, sometimes a Sherpa guide, sometimes a translator of local custom, has been very helpful to me and to this county, and I do want to pass along a special appreciation for the work that you've done over the past many years, but including the last year with me, so thank you. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. If there's no questions for Joe, we'll move on to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
Just a few things. In response to what Will had been talking about, I wanted to tell you that I know that the district attorney and the Ithaca Police Department have been working very hard on that investigation. I expect in the next few days they're going to have a statement. And I just also want to express my thanks for the five members who I've worked with over the past 4 years, and obviously some longer than that. Again, particularly the chair, it's been a great experience, and you'll all be hard to replace. And that's my report.
Thank you. If there's no questions for Jonathan, on to David Squires, Finance Director.
At the last meeting, I noted that we were having a financing, and I wanted to present to the clerk a rather unique official statement here, the lowest interest rate that the county has ever achieved in a financing that we close on this Friday. What's unique about it is that I think this might be the lowest rate for upstate county in 2009, for upstate counties at least. If you check, this is a rate of 0.34%, and every one of our bids, we had five bids, were under 0.5%, which is where I estimated the market to be. So I just was kind of shocked that it came in so low. Matter of fact, what's unusual about it is that the interest cost for this financing of $20 million is a little over $70,000. On Friday, we'll receive a check for $330,000 as a premium. And we've never received a premium more than the interest cost on a note financing. I'm kind of bewildered by about the whole thing, but and I will note in this, the outgoing legislators are noted here that their term ends. They're asterisks, noting that the four legislators are, you know, will be, but they're on an official statement page on the cover. So I enjoyed working with everybody, and I hope we will continue to see you participate in government and voice your opinion on how we're doing things.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions for David? If not, I don't believe we have any county staff to be recognized here to speak. Do we have resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Pam.
Yes, I'd like to withdraw resolution JJ and MM.
Okay, there's so withdrawn. And Frank Proto.
Mr. Chairman, at the appropriate time, I'd like to ask that we take one resolution out of order that's on the consent agenda. And then I want to ask your guidance on asking the same question with regard to resolutions beginning with resolution N, as in Nancy, so I don't have to ask the same question on every one of them. Whenever you're ready to handle that one.
Why don't you ask your question? We're about to get to the consent agenda. What is your question regarding those road swaps?
This is with regard to resolution NOPRTNV.
Yes.
My question is simply, what condition are the roads in that we are taking over from whatever municipality is involved in the road swap with us? And then my concern is that I've been on some of these roads because of the way I have to travel around the county, and the ones I've been on are not in the greatest of shape. And I'm just curious if the towns or the municipalities are going to bring them up to speed or up to standard before we take them over and have to spend the county's money doing that. So I'm just curious if there's been any sort of an inspection of them to assess the shape that they're in.
The point of putting something on the consent agenda is not to have a lot of dialogue about it. Because there's so many of them, though, I'll have either Ed or Leslin do a very quick summary so we can keep them on consent. It has been analyzed in depth, and I don't know which of you wanted to speak.
All the roads have been reviewed, both by the town and county highway managers and superintendents. And in some cases, where there is work needed to be done, there's part that will be completed before this takes effect. For each road, it's different. Some do not require any. Some, there's mutual agreement that certain work will be done on the road, bringing up to a basic level of quality before the swap occurs. If you have a specific question on a specific road, we do have the information. But
I appreciate the overview.
Thank you.
And I'm going to take the prerogative to take one of the consent agenda's items out of order because we have Sigrid here to get an honor from one of the consent agenda items. And Frank wanted to do that separately. So if we could take up consent item H, this is authorization to declare 2010 the International Year of the Nurse in Tompkins County, support a proposal to the United Nations to declare 2011 to 2020 United Nations Decade for a Healthy World. And we'll speak of it now, but we will pass it under consent. You want to speak to that, Sigmund?
Just a very short few words. Florence Nightingale, as many of you know, was the founder of nursing, modern nursing. She was an advocate for quality, skilled, and compassionate care for everyone, especially for the poor and for the soldiers. These initiatives helped to work on a global initiative to focus on public policies that will also advocate for those same ideals. Thanks.
Thank you. So before we go to the consent agenda, is there one more resolution to be added to the agenda? Leslin, do you have NN to add?
I do. I would like to add the air service, the airport agenda.
Last one in the packet.
Thank you. Resolution NN, award of bid, new multipurpose snow removal equipment with attachment, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Thank you.
Is there a second to add that, Pam? Any discussion? All in favor of adding NN? That's now on the agenda. We also have to add a few appointments that came in last minute that were not in your packet. Four for the Library Board of Trustees. I guess Nathan will be moving this. Cynthia Nicholson, Diane Goodman Daniel, Gwen Glazer, Martha Walker. So moved by Nathan, seconded by Dooley. All in favor of adding those four to the agenda?
And, I have a question.
So that passes, I believe, unanimously. Yes, Pam?
Are you adding these to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So these appointments
these
didn't go through the committee?
They came through committee.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
And then EMC goes through your committee, Pam. I think we want to add Roger Segelkin also to the consent, as an appointment as chair to the EMC. So I presume you'll move it, and Martha seconds. All in favor of adding Roger to the appointment list on our consent agenda. Thank you. He's now on. So let me proceed then. If there's no further additions or withdrawals, we have 33 items on our consent agenda. So bear with me as we walk through them. From the appointments, two long pages of appointments. These are kind of year-end, year-beginning appointments. To the Community Mental Health Services Board, Nancy Rosen, Stu Bergman, Mary Hutchins, Auguste Duplan. To the Mental Health Subcommittee, Nancy Rosen, Mary Hutchins, Adrian Lampert. To the Substance Abuse Subcommittee, Thomas Lipa and Stu Bergman. To the Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, PERS, Liz Norton, Peter Meskel, Joan Murphy, and Wilfred Drew. To the Office for the Aging Advisory Committee, Ann Cedarholm, Catherine Paddock, Francis Savakul, Jane Penrose. To the Hillview Road Landfill Citizens Advisory Committee, Joel Gagnon. To the Air Service Board, Ed Marks and Rich McDaniel. To the Library Board of Trustees, we have six now, Michael Stamm, John Vineyard, Cynthia Nicholson, Diane Goodman, Gwen Glazer, and Martha Walker. To the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Lisa Holmes, Mary D'Souza. To the Traffic Safety Board, Lawrence Jackman. To the Criminal Justice Advisory Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Pat Buchel, Deb Dietrich, and Tom Boyce. To the Planning Advisory Board, Monica Roth, Peter Penniman, Richard Coogan. To the EMC, Environmental Management Council, Roger Yonkin, Spring Buck, Gary Stewart, Mark Whitmore, Clement Chow, Steve Nicholson, Martha Ferger, and Roger Segelkin. To the Strategic Tourism Planning Board, Todd Miner, John Mitchell, Katie Pierce, David Sparrow, Ken Jupiter, and Bev Baker. To the Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance, Scott Wiggins. To the Agriculture Farmland Protection Board, Irene Kehoe. Now to the 33 resolutions. If you want to pull them off, let me know.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
between this morning and now, I did not have time to get back to staff with respect to minor changes to some of the road swap resolutions. They add the classification of the roads, whether they're rural, minor, rural, major, just the terminology, or local roads, and the distance. Is that right?
Mileage.
The mileage in the specific resolutions themselves. At the moment, that information is in lots of backup material. And I had given the information to Karen, but did not have time to get back to her after checking with Ed this afternoon to ask it to be put in your boxes. So if you all are agreeable, I won't pull them off the consent agenda to do that.
I'm seeing assent from
the group. Are so agreeable.
And the chair of F&I, and having talked to Ed, these are kind of what...
And Karen did run them
manifest
by
manifest corrections. So we'll have mileage added and whether to collect the roads or designation of roads. Thank you. This is Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. Resolution A, authorization to disperse funds, county administration. Resolution B, delegation of authority, authorize certain tax and solid waste fee refunds under $500. Resolution C, workers' compensation budget and apportionment, mutual self-insurance plan. Resolution D, implementation of 2010 Tompkins County budget memberships. Resolution E, implementation of 2010 Tompkins County budget departmental fees. Resolution F, creation of, abolition of, and changes in positions, various departments, and that's revised. And it's in your packet. From Public Safety Committee, Resolution G, also revised in your packet, acceptance of 2010 Annual Criminal Justice Alternatives to Incarceration Consolidated Services Plan. Resolution H, we've already spoken about.
No, we haven't. Motion.
Okay. This is authorization to declare 2010 the International Year of the Nurse in Tompkins County and to support a proposal to the United Nations to declare 2011 to 2020 the United Nations Decade for a Healthy World. For Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution I, Budget Adjustment, Highway Division. Resolution J, authorization to execute a supplemental agreement with Barton and Lujudis, PC for design services, Newfield Depot Road Bridge Replacement Project, and PIN numbers. Resolution K, authorization to execute an agreement with the Town of Ithaca and Cornell University, Pine Tree Road bike and pedestrian paths. Resolution L, authorization to execute a contract with Delta Engineers, Architects and Land Surveyors, PC, for bridge replacement design services, Game Farm Road over Cascadilla Creek. That's in Dryden and Ithaca. And resolutions M through X, I will summarize. These are the road swaps. Dooley.
There is a middle section that I'm going to have to ask you to take off so I can vote no.
And is there a particular
and
one?
Those would be QRST, the Groton package.
Q, R, S, and T. Okay, so we'll take those up under F and I. But for M through P, this is in the town of Dryden. These are road swaps for Lake Road, Game Farm Road, Hanshaw Road, West Dryden, and Cobb Street in the town of Dryden. Is there a negative declaration of environmental significance and authorization to do those road swaps? Then on to U, V, W, and X. These are in the town of Lansing. Roads including Buck Road, East Lansing Road, Milliken Station Road, Farrell Road, and North Lansing School Road. On to Government Performance Workforce Relations Committee. Resolution Y, correction of errors. Resolution Z, designation of newspaper.
Off.
Okay, that'll be under GPWR. Resolution AA, return village taxes. Resolution BB, return school taxes. Resolution CC, this is revised, adoption of apportionment of taxes 2010. Resolution DD from the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, also revised, funding of community celebration grants. Resolution EE, also revised, the revisions in your packets, funding of tourism, marketing, and advertising grants. Resolution FF, also revised, approval of contract between the county and the Chamber of Commerce, Convention and Visitors Bureau for Tourism Services. And Resolution GG, approval of amended bylaws of the Tompkins County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board. Who would like to move the consent agenda? Frank Proto moves it. Pam McElsey seconds. All in favor? Is there anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. So we have about five resolutions plus the five that were pulled off the agenda. Thank you very much for coming, Gene and Fred.
Thank you.
I will. I assume others will probably end up staying through the whole meeting, so we'll just go through the regular agenda as it's posted. So we'll start with Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. We had a meeting the other day. The county administrator handed us information. What do we call it, Joe? The colored sheet?
The dashboard, the monthly indicator.
The dashboard, I'm sorry. That he had been giving us, and we saw those things. We discussed all the items that were on the consent agenda, and I want to thank the members of the committee and also the expanded budget committee who appeared loyally and took part in the discussion for the 2010 budget, and you did well. Our next meeting is 12/28, maybe. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim, for your chairmanship. Question from Frank?
Jim or Joe, I hate to get too serious, but the news from Albany about the cut in the 12%, can you, either of you, say anything about that with regard? I know that it whacked the health department rather severely because of the fact that they haven't received the reimbursement since 2008.
Let me start from the legislator point of view, and then the county administrator and the finance director may want to add on. Our sense is, Frank, that we are going to wait before we say anything overall until all the departments have analyzed what the cuts would mean to them. And rather than dribble it out one piece at a time or one department at a time, we want to recognize that we have some work to do and get some information pulled together, and I believe that Joe and the department and Norma David would then put that out when it's all pulled together. Clearly, we've recognized one item alone, $76 million, is a significant amount of money to 62 counties, and we will then have to deal with that as the results come in. So from my point of view, that's what we're done.
Thanks for the summary. Anything else, Joe?
No, I think Jim has summarized it well. We are compiling that information right now, and we're getting greater details, more details every day. David, I think, articulated well, David Squires, at the last meeting, the cash flow issues that are created by these delayed payments, which are very real and very concerning. But I'm hoping within the next week or so we'll be able to give you a tally and assessment of the effect of the actual cuts in aid. Then finally, the concern about the delays. You referred to the health department delays. It's about $1.1 million in delays. Now, the expectation is those are delayed payments, but they'll be received. The concern is that there will come a point when those delays become actual cuts. And that'll be an unknown that we'll have to deal with for the next few months. So that's, again, a very complex environment right now.
Procedural question.
Sure.
We don't have another legislative meeting between now, this is the last one, and next year. A lot of our committees, our standing committees, are done for the year. We've had our last meetings. Can someone outline a procedure? Are we going to... I realize normally our procedure is to keep, with the chair's permission, to keep the standing committees in place for at least the month of January so that if some action has to take place, we're able to act in that capacity. But if there's some action that needs to take place between now and into January, I mean, do you anticipate that we're going to have to do anything to, as committees or even as legislators, to react to any of the daily curveballs that Albany is throwing us?
Well, the rules of the legislature allow a special meeting if needed. Joe will advise us that that's needed. We don't anticipate it at this time. And the committees do stand in their formation going into 2010 until a new chair and vice chair are elected, and they have 30 days to appoint new committees. So that could happen quickly, or it could happen over the period of 30 days. So those who are on committees will still meet until others are appointed, and if we don't have a quorum, given that five members are leaving, we'll have to do our best to seat members for those meetings to enact business. But at this juncture, if I can summarize for Joe, we don't anticipate a need for special action before the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you.
If there's no further questions, on to Public Safety Committee. Martha Roberts is the chair.
Thank you. We met on December 10th and spent the most of the meeting on finishing up going through the task force on public defense, on assigned counsel, on going through in more detail with staff on the various recommendations. And I thought the best thing might be, we did get through them all, and I thought that might make the most sense. I offered to draft a list of the recommendations and kind of where they all, where we expect them all to go next. Sort of have that ready for the next committee meeting, send it to Raish Law or the chair of the task force, and kind of make sure we have a document that sort of follows up on the big report. So in that vein, we did set a meeting January 14th at 3:30 for public safety, and there will be three members continuing, so that's a quorum, and we'll certainly invite anybody else who wants to join us, because that actually will be rather a full agenda. It's already, we've already got an update on the, oh, Greg's gone already. An update on the automatic defibrillator program. We wanted to talk about gas drilling and how it affects emergency responders, an update, the update from Dean Bodden on ATI evaluation, and we actually hope to invite the magistrates to come and sit. And there are a lot of issues in the task force report that relate to operation of justice courts, and we thought a start would be to invite them to our meeting and see if any of them come. We'd like to establish a relationship. So that's Thursday, December, January 14th at 3:30, and I do have one resolution.
If there's no questions, this resolution HH.
HH, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Emergency Response, and I so move.
Is there a second? Less than seconds. This is a short form roll call. Is there discussion? You ready to vote? I think I'm going to wait about 3 seconds for Greg to come back in the room. Since this relates to, I thought he was coming back in. All right. All in favor of HH as moved. I'm sorry, short form roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as a no? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
The WDIC committee will meet tomorrow at 2 p.m. It's not a normal time of meeting, just so people note that. Normally we'll meet the day, 2 days before the Christmas holiday, and the time is a little off because of the department head legislature meeting. So tomorrow at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, we did have, and unfortunately because of illness, could not be there to report out, and I hope many of you were able to make it, from the CEPA students on their study of the civil service system and the work that we're trying to do in terms of convincing the state to engage in some civil service reform. That did occur. We have a briefing on, you know, it's a follow-up meeting, and I'm sure I'll have more information to share at a later date.
Thank you. Martha?
When's your meeting tomorrow? Where is your meeting, Leslie?
At the Bev-Lift State Conference Room, Human Services Building at 2. I want to take this opportunity as well. I saw Will, and perhaps you did mention this at Privilege of the Floor, that I do appreciate sort of the WDIC does pay attention, of course, to these things. The community support just around the issues of race, racism, and oppressive behaviors that have been happening in our community. And, you know, a lot of people paid attention because it has been some of the things that GAIC has made public, but there are also others who are being subjected to unfortunate treatment and behaviors, and we're calling on everyone to not let these things just go under the carpet and handle them that way. But if they are publicly done, then we should have some public accountability for the folks who think that it's okay to treat people in a manner that's not in keeping with respecting basic human dignity. So I encourage all of you to take a stand, to write letters to the editors, to just say this is not the community we want. We're asking people to be respectful, value human life, value each other, and work towards living in a more harmonious way, because this is the community we strive to achieve. And as WEIC, we certainly will look at that and figure out how we can be more involved in getting our communities together. That's my report.
Thank you very much. If there's no questions, we'll move on to Legislative Procedures Committee, Julie Kiefer, Chair.
Well, our last meeting of the year is scheduled for this coming Monday. It may or may not happen then, but we'll have something for you to vote on in January.
All right, thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Health Committee met on December 8th, and we had a couple of items on tonight's agenda. We did have a report, and the Ithaca Journal did a pretty good job of expanding on it with regard to the jobs report that the Human Services Coalition did, the salary survey that was done. And I noticed there was a correction printed in there because of the dates of the update on the estimate of income. If you all should have received a copy of that. And if you haven't, we can arrange to get copies to you. It is really, it looks like this. It's really full of worthwhile information on a lot of the agencies that did have the opportunity to respond. Might be helpful, especially with the upcoming year that we're having. We had a report, and again, you should be aware that the last school district, at the time of the meeting, the last school district that was being vaccinated for the H1N1 was the Ithaca City School District. That has begun. It's underway now. And it looks like there's going to be enough vaccine for anyone else that wants to have it, but we're awaiting an announcement from the health department as to what the sequence will be with that. But that will finish up all of the school districts in the county, which is pretty impressive. You heard about the International Year of the Nurse. We won't go through that again. The committee also dealt with the draft supplemental impact statement that we'll be discussing later this evening. We moved it on to Pam's planning committee after health had dealt with it. And it was quite a lot of work. And we, as Martha said in an email to all of us, it seems like only yesterday, but it's probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, we could continue to tweak this document till the cows come home. And we shall, I'm sure. Nancy Zaylor gave us an update, while not directly, indirectly, on the Healthy Youth Report. It was the one that weighed the impacts and what they're going to do in the different school districts the next time around about substance abuse. And it's quite an expansive undertaking. Nancy Zook and JJ gave us the details on that as well. We followed suit. I'm going to announce that we did schedule a meeting for the 12th of January, which would be our normal meeting time. Just so you know, 3:30. In the event, I think that will be in keeping with our normal second Tuesday of the month. And hopefully we won't have to deal with any of those items Joan has already mentioned. And Jim Dennis asked me to make this announcement on his behalf tonight that Saturday, this coming Saturday at about 6:30, we're all to meet at his home for the annual Christmas party, Christmas and holiday party. He will provide you with a map, directions, and whatnot. So, did I do that right, Jim?
You did. You're hallucinating again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions for Frank? You have resolution II.
Yes, I have resolution II. It's the authorizing changes in the charge structure, Tompkins County Home Health Care, Health Department, and I so move.
Is there a second? Tyke Randall seconds. Is there discussion? Now ready to vote. Carol.
I have a question about the rise in rates, and that they're particularly large, and I just thought it would be worth mentioning to getting some more of the committee's thinking about why.
Why the costs went up?
To the extent that they did.
Well, they went up simply because the cost of providing the services have gone up. And not only that, the cost of the supplies to provide the services. The breakdown, I realize only we have the actual resolution, but the breakdown in the left-hand column certainly tells you which areas have been have reacted here and what we're looking at. The home health aid visits, I keep reminding everyone, too, and I know some of you have been very supportive over the years, that while the rates have gone up, the reimbursement and the salaries of the home health aides have not gone up or has not gone up. We had quite a discussion. I think Will raised the question at the committee that was similar. We did include at the bottom of the resolution why some of the costs have increased, and a lot of it is simply administrative. The administrative increase. Not every person that avails themselves of this service or any of these services will pay these rates, because there is, as you can see, a charitable care provision there as well. So the department reserves the right, with the administration's advice, to waive a fee. But simply driven by, read that block, it's the second one from the bottom, Carol, that deals with administrative costs. That'll give you some idea of what the increases have been.
So of eight categories, five are going up, and three are staying the same. Is there any further discussion before we vote? All in favor of resolution II as moved? Is anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
I think JJ has been full. We'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claire Bourne, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am going to ask for your indulgence. I'm sorry that I was late getting here. I'm on foot these days. I have to be very mindful of the rain and snow and everything else. I do want to take my opportunity to say thank you for your service to this county and to the legislature, and especially over the last couple of years as chair of this body. I enjoyed serving with you as your vice chair and vice chair for the legislature. You were very inclusive of me, something that I did not experience in previous years, and I don't mind saying that publicly, in decision making, in conversations, in getting the opportunities to participate in meetings and all the events that representing this county that I perhaps would not have had the opportunity. I was very proud to do so. You are indeed a friend of mine and a friend to my family, and something that I hold very dear. I will miss you on this body, but know that our friendship goes beyond being colleagues in the legislature, and that we will continue to work together, I'm sure, in other ways. So thank you for your service and for your mentorship to many of us. I know that it was very valuable to me, and I'm sure to others. You're very welcome. I also want to take the time to just share with my colleagues and to those out there to be, you know, so mindful of the health department that's been here talking to us about swine flu and about the flu season, and I unfortunately had the experience why I missed the last legislature meeting of having both my daughter and myself sitting up at Cayuga Medical Center, her worse off than I am. I thought I would lose my child, 3-year-old, to this dreaded disease, something that just came on. And being there with her, no matter how protected I thought I was, it also did affect me and my son as well. So my family it was really bizarre. So I encourage people to talk to the health department. Just be extra vigilant about taking care of yourself and getting whatever shots you need. I understand that there's now shots available in New York State, so that's good. Getting the preventative medicine is one thing. Once you get the disease, getting the medicine to treat it, that's a whole different story. So, yeah. So it. I just want to share with folks. I wasn't trying to play hooky. I didn't think you all wanted me to be around you spreading my germs any more than I had spread it throughout my household, I think. But we are doing well, and I do thank those of you who called to check in and say, you know, how are things going, and especially around Interior. She is a trooper, so she is doing better than I am. You know, bouncing off the walls and driving me crazy again. I'm never telling her to be quiet again, because in a moment of, you know, 2+ days of not speaking because of a full seizure, all I wanted her to do was speak. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm never ever telling you to not speak again. But thank you for your support. Facilities and Infrastructure met on the 10th. Whenever the 10th was, I can't keep track anymore. It was a little early because we wanted to get that 10 million resolutions we have here on the agenda, since this was the last meeting. Aside from the resolutions that are on consent and the ones that have been pulled that we will deal with, I do want to point out the other issue that we were very proud of and dealt with have to do with the award to the Solid Waste Division. You all did get the email from our county administrator and our chair on that award. But I wanted to share with you just some of the numbers. You know, they gave us the entire team of people came to our meeting. We were very proud to have met all of them. The Solid Waste Division received the Recycle of the Year Award, and the Dryden School District got the School Waste Reduction Program Award. Some of the numbers that I think matter and people should know about since we began doing this work is we have our waste diversion, waste reduction, went from 21% in 2006 to 34% at the end of 2008. That 34% translates to about 469 tons of waste material being diverted. That's a lot. Some of the other changes in 2008, a lot of it came about from programs such as Go Green and the ReBusiness Partners. 8% of organic material, 105 tons within some of the smaller school districts. We project that in 2009, because we're not at the end of 2009, we're probably going to be looking at a 45 to 50% waste diversion in our schools, which translates to about 620 tons annually. Those are very impressive numbers. The Dryden program, which I was just too tickled about, the science teacher who sort of heads up this program came, Mr. Fairchild, and he gave a brief report. They began this program in May of 2008. Lynette Short and her team from the Solid Waste Division went out, did the presentation, encouraged them, and they jumped on board. They started with about 150 fifth grade participants looking at the amount of garbage they produced in one day. So several bags in excess of 25 bags, in excess of 35 bags of garbage. They're now down to 3. And if they squish some of the all the materials, they can make it two. So that was, again, very impressive. 7.5 tons of milk and juice containers have been removed from the waste stream since they started this program. We know that milk and juice is very essential in our school meals program. They're now up with 650 students, have a lot of ambassadors, and students just want to do this. First year they had 24 ambassadors, they're now up to 50 ambassadors, and they are really promoting. And these are young ones, you know, they're fifth graders, and they're really promoting Go Green, waste reduction, waste diversion. And we're really excited, and I wanted to publicly give them kudos for the work that they have been doing. We also got a brief report on the Brown Road facility and the movements in that facility. Our anticipated move-in date was in January, but we might have to push that back a little. You know, things are moving along nicely. And that is the gist of our report. The rest of it was in the resolutions and consent agenda. I do want to, at this body, thank the committee, because, you know, several of our members, because I think the change in date could not make the meeting. But I do want to thank the committee for their service over this year. And I thoroughly enjoy being chair of F&I. I know a whole lot more about facilities and buildings and roads. It took me a couple of years, but I've got it under my belt now, so the next job, highway manager, I'm coming for it. But it was a real pleasure and a fabulous experience serving on that committee and serving as chair of F&I. And I have to say that we have an amazingly talented, skilled staff, and I hope that as legislators we continue to trust them to do the right thing and using our money wisely and producing whatever it is they need to do for the benefit of this community, because they are so talented. I couldn't get through chairing this committee and doing the work and understanding it without them being there. It is just amazing. So I encourage all of us to just let our staff do what our staff does best. So thank you. And also a real quick thanks to the Air Service Board for their work. They have been doing some great work. And plane mints are up. It's looking good at Tompkins Regional Airport. We're continuing to market our airport. And all of you who have been flying out and sharing your experiences on Facebook and elsewhere, thank you. It does make a big difference for people to hear about what's happening at our county facility and to use it. So thanks. Resolutions. I have... where's my list go now?
QRST, we're pulled off.
There it is. Resolution Q, determination of a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to abandoning sections of Spring Street Extension, Lick Street, South Main Street Extension, Pleasant Valley Road, Hinman Road, Stevens Road, Hinman Road, Groton City Road, Chipman Corners Road, and Talmadge Road to Town of Groton. Am I reading the right one?
You read the revised?
Yeah. The revised takes out, Stevens Road, Groton City Road. I'm reading the revised. That's not the one I want to read. I'm sorry. Resolution Q. Let's start over here. Determination of a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to abandoning sections of Spring Street Extension, Lick Street, South Main Street Extension, Pleasant Valley Road, Hinman Road, Chipman Corners Road, and Talmadge Road to Town of Groton, and I so move.
Is there a second? Dan Magazine seconds. Is there discussion? Martha.
I want to make a comment, not on this one in particular, but the whole package here. Bill, and I hope you'll pass this on. Ed, I hope you'll pass this on to Bill. I know both of you are involved in this is a massive job that's been done. It was some years ago before the Council of Governments was started that we started meeting informally as municipal officials in county with towns and identified a number of issues. Well, let's try to see if we can collaborate on courts and on a number of things. And roads and highways was a very big issue, and everybody said, oh, no, you'll never get the highway directors to talk to each other. And it's one of those, and then a miracle happened, and here we are with this package of resolutions that rationalizes, you know, all these pieces of road, and every single one is a different problem that needed to be evaluated and solved. And it feels that this makes the whole system far more rational. And I think it's just a tremendous amount of work that's gone into this. I hope we can appreciate that each of us has town highway supervisors that we relate to, and I hope we can express our gratitude to them for the collaborative work on this also. So, and also to the committee for working on it as well.
Thanks, Martha. Leslie?
Martha took some of the words out of my mouth. Thanks, Martha, for just thanking Bill and Ed and John and others. They sat down, just so folks know, the conversations happen with the town supervisors and people are in agreement. All of these towns, that the road swaps make sense. It sort of completes the county road network in a much better way. And all of you should have seen your package. I hope you did.
Yes.
I asked for you to include the map so you can follow along what it is that has happened. So definitely, Martha, I echo what you're saying. Just kudos to them.
I think we're ready to move to a vote. This was on consent, and I think it was pulled off just so someone could register a no vote. Are we ready to vote on resolution Q? Carol Chalk.
Yeah, I just have a question. These all look good to me. Would it be time after this at some point, not necessarily immediately, to get a new overall map of the various roads and which ones are highway and which ones are town, so that we've got sort of
a place to start
in the future. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All in favor of resolution Q revised? Is anyone opposed? That passes 14-1. Thank you. On to R.
Resolution R. Authorization to amend the county road system by abandoning Stevens Road, Hinman Road, Groton City Road, and Talmadge Road to the town of Groton. That's the partner resolution. So move.
And that's the revised?
Yeah, that's the revised.
And seconded by Tyke. Is there any discussion? Are you ready to vote? All in favor of resolution R revised? Any opposed? That passes 14-1. Thank you. On to S.
Resolution S. Determination of a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to amending the county road system by adding sections of Old State Road, Salt Road, and Cobb Street in the town of Groton. So move.
Thank you. And seconded by Tyke. Is there discussion?
I have a question about the package. I duly pulled it off the consent agenda. I am curious as to whether
you're particular. All right, I'll be
Julie
quick.
Wanted to say.
I disagree with Chipman's Corners being pulled off. I think it has more traffic than some of the ones that we're taking on. I wasn't able to get any updated traffic counts. I don't know that they exist. And I'm very much in favor of actually Old Stage and Salt Road becoming part of a truck bypass route, which is what the MPO has suggested. So I'm not against everything in here, but I had enough problem with part of the package that I couldn't support it all.
Thank you.
Thanks for your explanation. Are we ready to vote on Resolution S? All in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? It passes with 14 with one opposed.
Resolution T. Thank you all. amending county road system to add sections of Old Stage Road, Salt Road, and Cobb Street in the town of Groton, the revised, and I so move.
And seconded by Tite. Any discussion? All right, ready to vote. All in favor of revised resolution T?
Aye.
And is there anyone opposed? That passes 14-1 with one opposed. Thank you, Leslie. On to NN.
I also have resolution NN, award of bid, new multipurpose snow removal equipment with attachments, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. So move.
Is there a second? Greg Stevenson. Is there discussion?
Oh, I just have a question on this one. Is this another one of those 24-foot wide things we all get to go ride?
Our live-in? I don't think this is as big as the 24-footer that we had gotten.
Thank you.
This is a much smaller one. I think it does more precise plowing. It's a bobcat.
Yes. Yes.
Are we ready to vote on NN? All in favor?
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you, Leslie. There's no further business for F&I committee. We'll move on to government performance workforce relations committee. Before you start, Nathan, though, because Leslie brought up the issue of leadership at the end of the year, I want people to be aware that as of the first of the year, because I'll only be on the legislature, Leslie becomes chair, and we will follow the line of succession if Leslie's not available. And that is, in effect, in our rules. People can go back to that line of succession, but it's chair of HHS, chair of public safety, et cetera, et cetera. So if something comes up between the 1st and the 5th, when we have an organizational meeting, we'll follow that line of leadership.
And I just want people to know that I will be chaining myself to the chair and would not relinquish the seat no matter what.
On to Government Performance Workforce Relations Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, chair.
Thank you very much, Mike. First off, I wanted to say thank you to some of our GPWR-related people, that, like Mike Hattery, who have been on the committee, who's leaving the legislature, and Mike contributed greatly to the Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee. And then also to you, Mike, as chair, for having the vision for this committee. I really think that you creating a separate committee focusing on making government more efficient was visionary, and I applaud you for that, and thank you for that. The Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee went over our goals, and we had 8 goals over the course of the year, and did surprisingly very well with most of them, which is good for a Government Performance Committee. And the first was performance management, and now, you know, with additions in administration and with the focus on actually creating program goals and measurable achievements, this has been a great initiative, and a lot of work is being done, and we have goals to get this done by the middle of next year, and I think we're on that target, so that's fantastic. Our second goal was around quarterly progress reporting. This is mainly focused on administration, and a great job was done there. Next, with employee recognition, we had a presentation about the employee recognition programs that happened in the county, and they were also very good. Our fourth goal was regarding civil service law reform, which was also done with the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, and we had that presentation, and that went well. And we also had a very long committee discussion about this and learned a lot about the pass-fail system, the top-3 system, and ways in which we can better do outreach to find more of a diverse workforce. And then for the administrative policy manual, we did very well in this goal. I think we're at, 27 out of 50 policies. And really, I think we have a lot, we have to thank Kathy Covert and Paula Younger for all the work that they did on that. And then also especially Dooley Kiefer, who I think that, her persistence and patience working on this entire project really made it possible for us to achieve that goal. So without Dooley's presence, we wouldn't have been able to do this. So thank you very much, Julie. And then also performance review for legislative direct reports. We've had plenty of discussion about that, and things are going well in that area. Diversity recruitment. Active efforts going on that. And then also, finally, professional development feedback, where we did talk about a strategic training plan that's going to be happening, and we'll get a formal report about that in the next Government Performance or Workforce Relations Committee or whatever it might be called in the future, but we'll have a presentation in January or so, if whoever's chair still wants that to happen. So very good job on the goals there. Next, We talked about, we got an update on the voting machines, the new voting machines that were used inside of the city of Ithaca. And overall, very good. There are some privacy concerns, some training issues that we need to that we might need to work on. But overall, a very good process. And I believe that our commissioners understand all the ways in which we need to improve when we roll this out before the entire county. And also, an interesting observation was that other counties actually did have problems, and a lot of it was because they didn't invest in the technicians that were needed in order to make sure that the equipment was running properly before the election happened. But I think because we made that investment, it made that the election within the city of Ithaca run smoothly. Next, we also have a resolution that it was a suggestion of Dooley and that I wrote up regarding a resolution to endorse federal legislation to require voter verified paper trails throughout the United States, also to provide about $1 billion to help governments achieve that, and also to mandate a hand recount of 3% of precincts in federal elections. And so in the case to double check the computer counts. And so that resolution will be coming forth in the next legislature meeting. And then also, finally, we had a discussion about recording of our hours, and we'll need to pass a resolution establishing a 6-hour workday, which is the minimum, at least for that recording. But basically, what this means is that in order for legislators to be counted in the New York State retirement system, you'll need to have 20 days of service per month, and 20 of in each of those days is 6 hours. So in other words, you have to have about 120 hours logged. It doesn't have to be 20 consecutive days. It doesn't have to be 6 days out of the week. You can be throughout the month, but it's about 120 hours for the month. And so that's the number that you should be keeping in mind of as we move forward in counting that for New York State retirement. So with that, I have Resolution Z.
Question?
Yes.
Frank?
Back to the retirement, the cumulative hours.
Yes.
Does it have to be 6 hours in one day?
No.
Because I didn't hear you say.
Yeah, so and you could even count, Saturdays, Sundays, Monday through Friday, and Saturday, Sunday, and all those are just accumulating.
If we're up reading emails that have been sent at 2 a.m, that we can also log.
That's
that
right. That's
those
right.
of us who can read email.
Yes. Yes.
You having trouble, Ted?
All right. So I have Resolution Z, designation of newspaper, and I so move.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson, is there discussion?
Yes.
Frank Proto.
I ask that this be pulled, not because I have an axe to grind with the Ithaca Journal, but the last several years, several of us have been making a plea that we at least consider including the Ithaca Times as another one of our local newspapers, just so that we can expand our circulation area and reaching those people who read the Ithaca Times, particularly for our legal ads. Was supplied with circulation numbers based on all of the papers that are owned under that title of the Ithaca Times. There's the Chumansburg Free Press, the Newfield News, the Interlaken Review, the Ovid Gazette, the Candor Chronicle, Spencer Random Harvest, the Groton Independent, the Dryden Courier, the Lansing Ledger, and, of course, the Ithaca Times. Total readership is about 67,000, and their circulation is about it's a little over 24,000. So I would once again make a plea that if we're considering making sure that our legal notices are get out into the public, and each of us have also been solicited from time to time for news articles. They're pretty good about covering that, too. Once again, nothing against the Ithaca Journal, but just one more outlet into the very towns that we need some coverage in from time to time. I have no idea what it would cost to do legal advertising in there. We had Jonathan research some of this a couple of years back when this came up, and it may be that I know he's looking for some more work to do because he's all caught up. Might ask Jonathan to do a little more research on it, but I might bring this back during the year just so that we can have another avenue. And though I tease Jim a lot, there was a time when we did use the Trumansburg Free Press as an additional place to have legal notices printed. You might even recall that.
Frank, Jim Dennis.
And to that end, Frank, I got the same phone call you got, I ended up talking to David Squires and finding out why we designated the Ithaca Journal. And it, under the law, we're obligated to designate a daily newspaper. And in the same question, I asked, how much money do we spend with the Ithaca Journal? How much money do we spend with other newspapers? And David, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was about $30,000 a year for the Journal and about half that for all the other newspapers, which are the ones you mentioned. So we're complying to the law, and we're making every effort to spend money outside the Ithaca Journal because we're obligated to produce some of the things we do in other newspapers that can be a weekly newspaper.
Yeah.
Thanks for the explanation.
Excuse me, Mike, one more comment. It does, as long as we're designating a daily paper, we've complied with that regulation or nuance. It doesn't mean that we can't use another newspaper in addition to the daily. And I think that's where Jim was quoting on the additional pricing. But it doesn't mean that the additional pricing is all going to one particular additional newspaper. It's wherever else we may advertise. My guess is there are times when we have to advertise in Cortland, for instance, because there may be a social services issue with a piece of property, and it has to be advertised in that way. And some of the advertising, I'm sure, comes through Jonathan.
I'm very willing to be a part of that discussion in the month of January or in the coming up months.
Are you ready to vote on Resolution Z? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. On to KK.
Resolution KK, Appropriation Contingent Fund Terminal Pay Reimbursement Assessment, and I so move.
And seconded by Kathy Ruiz Herrera. This is a short-form roll call. Is there any discussion? We'll call for a short-form roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan.
That concludes my report.
We move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. I, too, would like to thank you for your leadership on the legislature. I appreciate your appointing me chair of the committee. I appreciate the support that you offered committee chairs through the year and the kind of help that you offered. And I particularly appreciate, I think we're really going to sorely miss the knowledge, the depth of your knowledge and understanding of the budget process and all the nuances there. It's really quite remarkable, and I thank you for that good skill, and we will certainly miss that and many of your other attributes. The Planning Committee met on the 9th of December, and many of the things that we talked about are on the consent agenda and otherwise. We spent a lot of time talking about the proposed DSGEIS on the for the Department of Environmental Conservation concerning gas drilling. And we talked a lot about the Biggs building that up on Harris States Drive that we are contemplating selling. Other than that, I think that really there was nothing that was of enormous importance that I need to add. I do have a resolution. What I would like to do is to move the resolution and then make a comment, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Question on the committee report? Sure, Frank.
Yeah. Tim, did you pull resolution MM?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this is resolution LL. Comments to New York State Department of Environmental Conservation on draft supplemental GEIS, generic environmental impact statement. And I so move.
And seconded by Carol Chop. Well, is there discussion?
I have a question about which version you are moving.
The one the committee passed.
Let the chair speak.
The version that we are moving is the second revision. It is in your folder. And so that I am moving that particular version. I would like to say that the gas drilling issue has clearly been in the minds of many of our constituents, people who live in Tompkins County, and is probably the most compelling issue that we have faced in this county since I've been here, which is over 40 years. So it was something that I think required a lot of attention, and I think that it received that attention. As we heard earlier, the Environmental Management Council, the Water Resources Council, the County Health Department, all contributed their comments on this document, and it went through two committees. It went through the Health and Human Services Committee and the Planning Committee, where it received a lot of discussion and talk. But I guess I would like to hold out a particular thank you for the efforts of the Planning Department. This resolution before us is really quite remarkable, and I really feel that it reflects the quality work that all of our departments have put in, contributed to this, but I think in particular the Planning Department was the one that sort of engineered this this whole thing and contributed so much. And so I think that once again we have reason to be very proud of the quality of work that we get from all our departments. And I am very thankful to them, all of them, for the work and for what they have presented to us tonight. I hope we pass this. As I said, it's a very critical issue for us, and I think that it will add a real force and thought to our comments to have this passed by the Tompkins County Legislature. So I hope that we all will be able to support this.
Thank you, Pam. I'm going to speak before others. I just want to make a point that the second revision includes significant changes from what came out of committee. The chair has a prerogative to do that if they're not significant changes. I, as chair, get to decide if they're significant changes or not. I'm allowing this to be moved to the second revision, although I find that there is some wording change that could be interpreted as significant change in the second to last resolve. I also note that there are three members of both HHS and PDEQ that overlapped, that were checked in with, and that probably would have survived the committee process, and therefore I'm going to allow the chair's decision to include those changes even though I determine them to be significant. So as long as you understand the process, someone could overrule my decision if you want to, but it's going forward as a second revision. So now we can comment on that. I hope to come to vote before 7:30 so all 15 of us can participate in that vote. Carol and then Kathy.
Yeah, as the seconder, I appreciate the opportunity to weigh in. I'd like to call your attention in particular to the revisions on the very last page.
Carol, you're talking about the actual one that's on the floor, the second revision.
The second revision, yes, and it is to the second to last resolved. The final resolved has to do with the names of the people that we're copying this to. So the second to last resolve is essentially the essence of
what we're asking the state to do with this resolution. And it came to my attention in particular as a result of the comments of the EMC. The time frame for this was that this went to Health and Human Services, who approved it. All of the material in just regular plain old font was passed at Health and Human Services. The stuff that is then in bold face, but not red, was added by PDEC and reviewed. I mean, I think you've had a chance to review that. This second revision, it went. The time frame was literally that the PDEC meeting ended at what, 5:30, and the EMC meeting started at 7 o'clock at night. And they looked at this and said there are two errors, in essence, in something that could be seriously misinterpreted in the way that we had worded that resolved. One of them has to do with what the EPA will be reviewing. The EPA will soon begin a study that has to do with the risks to water of hydrofracking. Our wording referred to a study of Marcellus shale drilling, and that just wasn't broad enough. That's not what the EPA is doing. So I hope that can, you know, when it was seen by those of you who've had a chance to look at it as just a correction. The other one has to do with our use of the word moratorium. The way that our wording was in there, we, through much of the document, ask for further review before the state proceeds with the CEQA process. The CEQA process calls for, right now, the 1992 generic environmental impact statement related to gas drilling is in effect in New York State. What this supplemental EIS does is look at, can changes be made to in the process for permit issuing for many wells at once. If this document isn't adopted, the 1992 law at this point still stands. The way that what we're asking for in this document is that this has not been enough of a review. And the whole rest of our document talks about why it hasn't been enough of a review. In this final one, we're saying it hasn't been enough of a review, and a review is needed. We use the word moratorium. That word is thrown out there. I talked with Jonathan today. The questions that came up had to do with the word moratorium is used generically by society, by all of us, as a kind of a delay. The word moratorium as used has a particular legal significance. And we didn't mean it that way, and those who've been bandying it about don't necessarily mean it that way. Moratorium if it goes on too long, the law allows a moratorium to be seen, or court law, case law, allows a moratorium to be seen as a regulatory taking. And that's not our intent. That's not the intent of New York State. The New York State Attorney General's office, I have learned, since our two committees passed this, had weighed in on that we cannot call this technically a moratorium. So the change in wording there really just goes to correct our mistaken use of the term moratorium. And I don't know if Jonathan wants to add to that or whether I've done that justice. That's where this comes from. I don't think it's real significant the way we've changed it.
I have Kathy, then Mike Sigler, then Dooley.
Thank you, Mike Pinkelaire, Mr. Chairman of the Tompkins County Legislature. I just love saying that. Usually I don't like these long explanations. It's necessary to go into detail this time. I usually don't like revisions to the revisions to the revisions that happen at the last minute, and there's some of them here that are sort of shady, in my opinion. The time frame on this is such that I'm willing to go with them. However, I want to call people's attention to, it would be on page 3, it's item number 10. The whole paragraph is bolded, and the last part of it is in red. And the reason I'm calling it to people's attention, because in my opinion, it kind of gets to the heart of the matter of why it's so important that we ask the state as a legislature to go ahead and do this. It has to do with requirements to mitigate the impacts of this activity that are described here and in other comments, and it says this is the only way to assure compliance with and consistency in the administration of those requirements. And it says the red part in bold that is a little, for me, a little too broadly stated, but I will accept in this circumstance. NYSDEC must. I don't really like musts when you've had a consensus and you've gone through community groups and you've had community groups that have approved it, and then at the last minute, without having a chance to go back to the community groups, you're putting in musts, which in the legal sense are a requirement. NYSDEC must undertake a formal rulemaking rather than just trying to add to the existing forms, application documents, and conditions that NYSDEC has been using for decades, and to use state-of-the-art scientific standard as a basis for such rulemaking. Now, I agree with that. It's just, to me, adding it at the last minute is a little bit problematic. The NYSDEC must take the time to conduct the necessary research and to make use of the results from the upcoming EPA review prior to proposing regulations. To me, that's a little ironic when we're telling them to take the time to review it when we didn't really take the time to review it and are doing a last-minute change. However, I want to say that I will support this. It's very important. I'm from Texas, where I've seen things ravaged. I've seen things ravaged by this kind of drilling, and just can't say enough about how important it is that we've gotten active about this and want to support the leadership that people in this county have shown on that. I also want to take this moment, because I'm going to leave right after this, to say thank you to the departing colleagues and to say thank you to the chairman of the Tompkins County Legislature, Mike Plinkelaer, and thank him for his service, his integrity, his diligence, his mentoring, and his consistency, all of which may have contributed to getting him into trouble, and all of which I suspect he would have done again, given the opportunity. And that's what makes him the kind of man he is.
Thank you, Kathy. I have 5 speakers, and I think Jonathan may want to speak to the issue that Carol brought up around moratorium versus withdrawal. Mike Sigler, Dooley, Nathan, myself, then Martha. Mike Sigler.
I just wanted to start off by saying that I support drilling the Marcellus Shale for natural gas. If people are truly worried about energy in this country, it's one of the largest gas formations in the country, if not the world. We need the natural gas. There's been talk of we're going to switch to wind, and we're going to need natural gas to run our cars. There's no doubt that we're going to need to tap this energy source. With that said, I didn't read anything in this that I really object to. And I'll be supporting this resolution because I don't think that the two are at opposite ends of the field. I think you can drill into the Marcellus Shale. I think you can use hydrofracking to do it. I'd much rather see one wellhead for 8 wells than 8 wellheads on the same piece of property. I mean, that's what you get through hydrofracking. I think you can protect the water sources in upstate New York, even with hydrofracking. And I think that the industry is a lot closer than you may think on this as well. The big problem I had with this report from the state, and it's something that you touch on a lot in this document, it's kind of mealy-mouthed. They kind of want to have it both ways. And you know what? Hey, you can't have it both ways. And industry really doesn't like that. Industry wants you to say, hey, you want to drill here, do it this way. That's what they want. Because that way, you can't come back later and sue them, which is really the expensive part anyway. So, I mean, if I was making a recommendation to the state, I would say give a clear set of rules that people can wrap their minds around and that industry can then follow. But if you leave it kind of up in the air like this, no one's going to be the winner.
I do have a question for people who have been studying this. I mean, there is a comment period now. Reading this document, though, it makes it sound like this document from the state is settled. And I guess my thinking is, if it's settled, why have a comment period in the first place? I mean, why not have a comment period and then say, okay, now we're going to revise that document based on some of the comments we heard? And it doesn't sound like the state is going to do that. And the number one reason, though, I'm going to vote for this resolution is, I think what's going to happen here is the state's going to charge an enormous fee to the gas companies to drill, and then they're going to keep the fee, and they're not going to send it to us. I have no doubt in my mind that's what the state's going to do, because they're going to say, health departments, it's on you. Go figure out the water. And it's important to remember that when it comes to water, it's not just important that the water is clean. It's important for the people drinking the water to think that the water is clean. And that's where all this testing is going to come into play. Is, you know, if people have a well down the street and people in their family inexplicably get sick, we need to be able to say, no, the water's clean. It's not that. Rule that out. What's the other cause of you getting sick? And that's another reason where industry really, if you're thinking that industry wants to come in and I don't know, ravage the land, as Kathy was saying, I just don't see that in upstate New York. And I think if you lay out the rules very clearly to what they want to do, I mean, they clearly don't want another Love Canal. I mean, come on. Companies are put out of business for stuff like that. You know, you don't have whoever polluted up in Syracuse anymore. They're out of business. That's why it's hard to clean up that lake. These industries don't want to go out of business because of lawsuits. So, I mean, my advice to the state would make the rules very clear. But again, I know you wanted to answer that question that I had, that if this is settled, I'm not sure why you have a comment period. So Pam, if you have an answer.
A quick response?
Yeah, I think when the comment period ends, then the scope of what you're talking about gets smaller and smaller. In other words, some of the things that the DEC has put in there are sort of accepted, and they narrow the focus of what they're doing so that you lose less and less opportunity to have an impact on the document. I mean, there were things that weren't even included in this document that should have been in there. Mm-hmm. So it is the document itself is just incredibly is just defective and very mealy-mouthed, as you said. It basically says to the industry, do this if you want to, and that is not something that we think it is anywhere near acceptable.
I have Dooley, Nathan, myself, and Martha. Dooley.
Other than four typos, which I won't point out,
thank you.
I wanted to talk about page 2, number 3. In the first line, it says prevention of pollution is better and less costly to taxpayers. I think the two taxpayers got copied from the bottom of page 1 where it replaced the word counties. I think either two taxpayers should come out or it should be changed to all parties, because it's expensive, it's costly to the companies, it's costly to taxpayers, it's costly to everybody involved.
Is that friendly to the mover and seconder? All
what
parties.
What are we doing?
All parties?
It's costly to all parties, or you could take it.
Just less costly.
Let's just take it out.
Okay.
Fine. The other thing that I have in that section is the correct, or several references to the actual document. So in the, I'm reading from the second line into the third line, lists of chemicals the gas developers use in their fracking fluids. I would like you to insert parenthetically sections 5.4 and 9.3, comma, tables 5-6 and 6-1. I looked them up today, and Ed Marks looked up others, and those are the right references for this topic.
Can you say them again?
The numbers again?
Sections 5.4 and 9.3, tables 5-6 and 6-1.
And I looking at the head nodding, that's friendly from mover and seconder. Okay, everyone has that. And anything final, Dooley? That's it?
Yes.
On to the speaking order, Nathan.
I'm going to pass for now because I need to look up a word in the dictionary.
Okay. At this juncture, I'm not going to be supporting this resolution unless we get a more definitive ruling from Jonathan. The change from moratorium to the document being withdrawn is too significant for me to be able to support. I've had one-on-one conversations with people in the policy section of the DEC regarding where they stand regarding this whole process, and I believe that to have the document withdrawn at this point is actually an insult to the entire process, and I can't have our comments be completely discounted based on that change in wording. But also, I believe there's a technical, I don't know all the nuances of the technical change when you move from a request for moratorium, which I understand others have researched, to a document being withdrawn. But when you throw out, when you request a throwing out of a whole document, you essentially open up the door for other eventualities, just like a moratorium, I believe, in a very legalistic way, could open the door for other eventualities if you have what would be interpreted as a regulatory taking. So my assumptions regarding a document being withdrawn, starting from scratch, allows certain permitting to take place in the absence of a document, and I will not be able to support that. But I understand reasonable people disagree, and we'll get more information as we proceed.
Mike, I'll be happy to address those issues whenever it's appropriate.
I have Martha next, and then you in speaking order, and then Pam. It's Martha.
I appreciate Mike Sigler's comments. I mean, this is one of the there's a tremendous amount of unanimity that this document needs to be scrapped, and it comes from people who have leases, comes from drillers, from all different segments of the community, because it really doesn't do what it needs to do. There is no rulemaking plan. There is no process where the actual regulations and penalties proposed and, how it would be actually carried out. That will, according to DEC, everything they've said to us, will not be subject to public comment. That they're going to take the response, all the comments, and then write up their own analysis of response, and then make whatever modifications to application procedures that they want to do. So if they continue to say, remember a year ago, we passed a resolution on the scoping document, and one of the things that really stood out in my head about that we suggested was that cumulative effects needed to be addressed. They came back and said, Matt, it's too difficult. And I'm not exaggerating. They said it's really too difficult to analyze cumulative effects. And that's one of the astonishing failures of the document. They could, even though I know so many bodies and individuals are commenting on that failure, they may come back and say, we still think it's too difficult, and so we're still not going to do it. So at the moment, and this is so much too big an issue for the future of our whole region, that whether it's rude to DEC or not, that's not even a consideration in my mind. Pam and I and Don Barber and Ken Sesserson met with the editorial board of the Ithaca Journal today, and Don expressed beautifully that this is about the future of our whole region. What might happen now is, with this drilling, we'll transform upstate New York permanently. So this is not to be taken lightly. I hear from every sector that we should do it. If we're going to do this, we have to do it right. I just want to address quickly one issue, Mike, you mentioned about we're going to need natural gas. I've had a chance to do a little more reading about the actual balance of, which is more clean, natural gas or coal. And there is no analysis of what's called the life cycle of natural gas that accounts for all the emissions involved in extraction and use. And if you really need to evaluate the whole picture to really judge, is this a cleaner fuel or not? We don't have that information. It could be done, but it hasn't been, and DEC doesn't have that information. What we do know is that even if there's 2% leakage in the pipeline, in all the pipelines that are going to carry this gas, that's methane. That goes, that's far more damaging to the environment than carbon dioxide. Even if there's just 2%, and 2 to 4% is actually considered typical, that wipes out the advantage, the supposed advantage of gas over coal. So I feel that it's really, at the very least, prudent for the state of New York to take all the time it needs and really study this. And I think this resolution only hits the high points, frankly, compared, you know, there are all many more technical comments that our advisory boards and staff have put together. So I feel like we did take a lot of time to write this and try to include a lot of information in here, and that's why there's so many revisions. But it's been part of a very extensive collaborative process. So I appreciate everybody's support who's going to be able to vote for it.
I have Jonathan next.
I guess there are two issues that you mentioned, which are kind of separate issues. One is the word use of the word moratorium, and the other is be withdrawn. Moratorium, you know, as Carol explained, when she went to EMC, they, including an attorney there, indicated much about the legal significance of moratorium and not to use it and why not. And one could go on a pretty lengthy explanation, and all of that is accurate. I don't disagree with them. But more importantly, moratorium is just the wrong word. In law, you have a moratorium once something goes into effect, and we don't want this to go into effect to begin with, so you don't really use the word moratorium. You use the word moratorium when something is in effect and then you want to stop it. You don't generally use it if something is yet to go into effect. So it's just simply the wrong word, I think. So that I agree with, and it doesn't really need any complex legal explanation. It's just really not the right word. With regard to be withdrawn, that's a separate issue, and it does actually raise the legal issue of, well, if it's withdrawn, what exactly does that mean? What exactly happens? And that's a legitimate issue. And one could even argue, well, if it's withdrawn, we could just go ahead and start issuing permits. So I don't know. I don't really think we want to use that either. I was just talking with Ed, and Ed came up with, I think, some better words, which I think probably capture it better, and say what we want to say. But after the underlined part be included in the New York State Review, if we say require that no drilling be permitted until an adequate environmental review is completed, I think that would probably capture it without getting into any legal issues.
Okay, you're going to have to start and say it again. So the third line down changes from red to black. So the words New York State Review, then require that.
Require that no drilling be permitted until an adequate environmental review is completed.
Okay, so you pick up on that sentence until you take out the and unless. So people can see that. That other wording is still in that sentence.
Could we keep on and unless?
Ed?
Well, and we could keep and unless. It seems like unnecessary language to me, but it's fine. It doesn't change the substance.
All right, I'm going to. This is now the mover and seconder's choice about whether.
Okay.
Mover is accepting it as friendly, and seconder.
Yeah, I think we have to say.
Can I say first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you.
I think that this is a good change, and it's fine. And until and unless is fine with me too.
Okay, so he presently reads, "No drilling be permitted until and unless an adequate environmental review is completed." Period. Seconder, is that okay with you?
Well, an issue with that is that drilling does proceed under the 1992 law that is perfectly legal. Drilling includes vertical drilling as well as horizontal, so I think it would have to read no new hydrofracking drilling permits be issued.
Should horizontal be in there?
Horizontal.
Say it again, Carol. Slowly.
Okay. It would have to read, require that no
horizontal
there are some test drilling, I think, being conducted.
They aren't hydrofracking.
But it's no new hydrofracking drilling be permitted.
Okay, I think the technical term is hydrofracturing, is that right?
It is.
Okay, so we're not using the word horizontal? Are people following?
No, we are using horizontal.
Well, I think I've heard Carol take it out.
No new...
I think
horizontal drilling involving the use of hydrofracking.
That's better.
Okay, no new horizontal drilling involving the use of hydrofracturing, and then we pick up with be permitted until and unless. People have that. Is that friendly to the mover?
That's fine.
Okay, that's now the new wording on the floor. And Jonathan and Ed can put their heads together as we discuss if there's any problem with that. I have next in speaking order Pam, then Nathan.
I didn't have my
hand. Oh, okay. Maybe we can respond to something else. Nathan?
First off, let me just say that I believe this is a beautiful resolution. I think that the work here is just fantastic and definitely is commendable. I just wanted to talk very briefly about my own experience with gas drilling over in Tioga County and Bradford County, where I spent a lot of my time. And it's interesting because, it's these communities really, they have negative population growth. They're really, the economy's not so good. And so in a way, they want natural gas drilling to happen because it's an economic boom to these areas. I mean, Bradford County, Pennsylvania is looking at possibly a 5,000 person increase in population, jobs that actually pay as good as the factories that are closing down in the area. And so it's big for them. But I think that with a lot of people, this the economic aspect of this is so important to them. But I think that this document and what we're doing here is important because with every single economic boom that happens, right, your boom will go bust without regulations, and that's really what it comes down to. And I think that with this resolution, I mean, we are really taking into account the social, economic, and environmental well-being of Tompkins County. And I think that that's incredibly, I'm going to use the word commendable again, but commendable. So that's all.
Okay, before I call on someone else, I want to read the new language. Starting the third line on the last page where it turns from red to black. New York State Review. Next word is, require that no new horizontal drilling, people have that, involving the use of hydrofracturing be permitted, and then we pick up from what we had before, until and unless an adequate environmental review is completed, period. All right, Frank Proto is next.
Nathan, you just triggered something in me with regard to the comment you just made about the economic stimulus and what we may expect. It's basically some of the same concern that I had years ago regarding the Cornell Lake Source Cooling Plant. When they were locating, when the proposal was to build it and go to IDA for the financing, my concern wasn't necessarily the plant itself. It was one of the parameters for the IDA was permanent jobs. Not talking about construction jobs. While the plant is being built, there's an awful lot of activity. Everybody's shuffling around regardless of how long it takes. The minute the last construction trailer leaves the site, how many permanent jobs are you leaving behind? And in that case... Now, I don't know what it is today, but in that case, on that particular project, it was a net of one new job. The other person was being moved from the chiller up at Cornell down there. And that really that wasn't right, as far as I was concerned, to qualify for the abatement. I have the same concern with using the economic indicator, if you will, or argument, with the gas drilling. Yeah, the permits, what we were talking about in Ellis Hollow a week or so ago, and we had two representatives from the oil industry there, they said the cost of the permits for hydrofracking was going to far exceed, for the cost of the gas companies, was going to far exceed the costs for the vertical drilling permits. And yeah, Mike was being a little facetious, but indeed, at this point in time, it's perceived that the state's going to hold on to all the fees that are generated. However, there's not enough money generated in just the fees, in just the permit fees, to cover the cost of putting on all this new help that the Cornell law students have identified soil and water districts, and they should be the ones that do the monitoring. Being a director, Greg and I were talking about it yesterday up at the Soil and Water. Who's going to pay for the training for these folks? It's the same argument we were making with the health departments taking over the water part of the water well monitoring part of it. This is not carefully thought. This document isn't carefully thought out yet, and I certainly personally agree. We ought to encourage them to take a little bit of a time out. The wording that Jonathan came up with is fine with me. But I want to know, once the last person leaves that man camp, right, that the journal had splashed all over, who's going to be left? Yep. Where are the jobs?
Right.
Anybody know where the jobs are?
Yeah,
there's going to be money circulating in any single community. And maybe there'll be a new manufacturing company. When I worked for Morse Chain in the old days, one of the companies that we supplied was called Joy, J-O-Y, Manufacturing. They made humongous oil drilling equipment, and we built sprockets for them. Is BorgWarner going to gear up for that kind of... we're not going to see those kinds of rigs here. Does anybody know? Maybe that's a Mike Stamm question. And Martha, you're the IDA chair. It's probably unfair to ask you that. I didn't prep you for this one. I know I try to sideswipe you once in a while, as you do me. But is there any... does anybody know what the economic impact will be?
In reading the room, I think we're getting close to a vote. Martha, then I see Carol's hand.
Is Jean still here?
No.
At the summit in Owego, the Cooperative Extension held, there were some sessions on a workforce, and I didn't go to those, but I talked to Gene McFeeters after, it is a short, relatively short term explosion of activity. It's 10 years. It's not a year or 2 years. It'll sweep through a community over a period of neighborhood of 10 years. And Ed, you may know better than I, but my sense is that, and I was told that at least 80% of the initial jobs will be filled by people coming from out of town, Texas and wherever else. Over that 10 years, they think maybe some local folks will get hired and trained and hired to take over some of that, so it may shift to more local folks over that sort of boom cycle, but I don't think that they really know that. I think in general, one of my concerns is that you have this sort of explosion to try to handle this influx of activity, and then when it goes away, you've got just like the whole balloon just deflates. And then you're left with stuff that you've paid for, whether it's a variety of infrastructure or whatever, that you don't need anymore, and it's just actually a negative in the community. So I think there are some temporary jobs, some short-term temporary circulation of funds, but it's not real development.
I think we're about ready to vote, if I read it correctly. Carol, last comment?
Yeah, I could do something to answer this. I did go and talk to Mike Stamm in trying to put together some figures related to economic development and this issue. And I don't have all of them off the top of my head, but one of them was that higher education and spin-off industries, and that's not just Cornell, account for 45% of the Tompkins County economy. Higher education, high-tech spin-off industry, grape growing, wine production, dairy, and other agriculture total well over a $2 billion a year in economic activity in New York, in Tompkins County. And all of those things receive costly New York State economic development support. And I have a sense that this is a false choice between New York, upstate New York should not be told you either get this kind of economic development or none at all. This other kind of development we're talking about nets more and will last. Best case, we're talking 14, 15, maybe 20 years of energy production for the United States. This other kind of economic development that I talked to Mike Stamm about, you know, builds and goes on forever. Other local figures that I've got is, you know, we know our room tax revenues of $1.8 million related to tourism. Other tourism stuff is gross room revenues of $42.3 million. And direct sales related to tourism from Fred Bond, who was here earlier, and this is as tracked by the Empire State Development Corporation's Division of Tourism, the I Live New York campaign, is $172 million here. So those are some figures to toss out that that's other economic development, and that's stuff that builds on itself and lasts beyond the 20 years we're talking about.
I don't want to lose the goodwill. I think we're ready for a vote. Frank has a very brief comment.
You may think this is somewhat facetious, but the trucks that are associated with this drilling, will they be subject to the DOT's local delivery consideration that where the comment period ended yesterday?
Do you want me to answer that?
If you have a quick, brief answer, yes.
No local trucks are affected by that, including farm trucks. So the drilling trucks will not be affected by this, nor will the farm trucks.
And those trucks are everywhere where I am.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to vote on the revised revision, LL, with the wording change that's been spelled out meticulously. Are we ready to vote? I guess no one's asking for a roll call. All in favor of LL, second revision as revised. And are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Well, the wording change. I think we're done with planning development and environmental quality. Thank you very much.
Sorry. I was jumping up and down.
We've wrapped it all up at the end of the year. There's no further questions. We do have one more committee report. 2010, Complete Count Census Committee. Pam Mackesy, Chair.
Right. And what I have to report is that this is a new committee, and we are all excited about the work ahead of us, and we want to make sure that we are counting as many people as possible. Unfortunately, we haven't met yet, and we are looking to meet in the near future.
Thank you. Any further questions? Jim Dennis.
Who are the members of that committee, Pam? I
are you
missed
trying
that
to put me on the spot?
I'm sorry?
Are you trying to put me on the spot?
No. Okay. You haven't counted them yet. That's right.
Do you really want to know?
I mean, okay. Is it a double-figure number? Or
no, there are five
people.
Five people.
Okay. It's the legislative committee, not the community committee.
Yeah.
Send me an email.
I will. I'll send you a
nice. Moving on to minutes of previous meeting, November 17th and December 1st. Frank moves them both. Greg Stevenson seconds. Any revisions? Are ready to vote? All in favor of the minutes? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. We have no unfinished business. I'd like to move into executive session for purposes of personnel. Who'd like to move into executive session? Frank Proto moves it. Pam seconds it. We do not intend to take any action after executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.